Hi, this is Julia Brennan from the Shelter Island Gazette. I'm here today with Jimbo Feiner.
Hi, Julia. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Jimbo is on board for the inaugural episode of Life Between the Ferries. It's a podcast about Shelter Island, its people, its places, and history. If you're from Shelter Island, the Feiner name needs no introduction. If you've ever visited the island, you're probably familiar with it. You may have traveled here from the South Fork aboard a ferry boat called the Lieutenant Joe Feiner. And you've probably driven along Route 114, the main road across the island, which has been named in honor of the fallen soldier. Army First Lieutenant Joseph J. Feiner was 24 years old when he was killed in action during Operation Enduring Freedom. To honor Joey, his family has created the Strong Point Feiner Ranch in Magdalena, New Mexico. The ranch hosts retreats for veterans and Gold Star families. Right now, retreat guests stay in the family's three-bedroom home on the ranch, but a campaign to build a bunkhouse is underway, and Jimbo Feiner is here to tell us how far along the project is and what's needed to complete the job.
Yeah, very excited to be here to just update everyone and who's been following our story since Joe's death, but also hopefully educate some people as to, you know, what we've done as a family and as a community here on Shelter Island to preserve a young man's legacy that is very worth preserving. I know that something Joe, if he was here today, would want everyone to know about him was that, you know, he was more than happy being where he was, doing what he was doing. I just had a Facebook memory pop up that was me typing the dialogue in March of 2010 of one of my last conversations with him, and it was just how ready and prepared he was to go overseas to defend our country, defend our way of life, and just very matter of fact. But Joe was very committed to service, very committed to this country, and I'm sure proud of the job that he and his men did over in Afghanistan.
And he understood the risks.
Absolutely, yeah. I know for my parents and myself and Joe's friends, those who knew him best in life, we knew that he was sort of always a protector and always wanting to serve. And when it came down to his military service, while there are many facets to the military, the National Guard, the reserves, you know, support services, things like that, for Joe, his personal definition of serving was being on the front lines and being in the fight.
We're going to be broadcasting this in recognition of Memorial Day. There's a incredible, if you've never been to it, service that goes on here on Shelter Island.
Yes.
That starts down at the waterside with the wreath being tossed upon the waves off the town dock to honor all those who've fallen at sea, and continues with just a beautiful community service that's very personal. People remember these guys, and it's taken very seriously.
You can go down to the Memorial Day Parade on Shelter Island in the pouring rain, and you will still see hundreds of people from a town of only a few thousand that are there to pay their respects. And I know I gained a hell of a lot from growing up here. And I think Joe was definitely influenced in the sense of community and the love that is felt here on Shelter Island through events exactly like that, but like Memorial Day.
Can you tell us a little bit about the ranch and what the purpose of it is, how the retreats are coordinated, that kind of thing?
Sure. The ranch was a project that we as a family just sort of came up with a little while after Joe's death, where we had initially just received so many donations and gifts from people just wanting us to do anything immediately following Joe's death. So what ended up happening is we actually established the Joseph J. Feiner Memorial Fund, which is a scholarship fund and supports veterans organizations. Beyond that, we started thinking, okay, what else could we do? You know, It's wonderful to keep Joe's name in a program at a graduation ceremony and let people know that, hey, this is someone who's from here, or, you know, maybe your family knew him. But when it came down to it, we wanted to do a little bit more for veterans. And it started, I think, with having Joe's unit back here to Shelter Island. Joe deployed in March of 2010. He was killed in June, and although he was his platoon leader, you know, he was a first lieutenant, you know, he had 20 to 25 men under his command. You lose your leadership like that 4 months into a year-long deployment, you don't get to come home. You know, those men were forced to live with the loss of Joe and continue fighting day in and day out for another 8 months. So when they finally redeployed in May of 2011, we said we want to bring these guys home in the way that we weren't able to bring Joe home. The homecoming that Joe received as a soldier who had given his life in service to his country was remarkable. And there's so many emotions attached to it for me. You know, plenty of negative, but definitely points where I draw strength from. There was a negative core to Joe coming home, that his unit coming down, it was all positive. Seeing the impact on the guys coming to Shelter Island and having a little time together to decompress after a deployment and, you know, maybe share a beer, share a story, hang out in a social setting. There's so much structure to the military that allows it to operate at the peak efficiency that it does. But at the same time, socially and sometimes more of those emotional connections aren't really allowed to grow or foster in a military setting. So we saw a lot of those conversations happen here on Shelter Island with Joe's men after they redeployed. And it was that moment that we said, hey, how can we do this more? How can we give veterans who've deployed, who've seen horrific, tragic things, how can we give them a chance to heal and perhaps put some of that behind them? Or if not behind them, then grow from it. Post-traumatic growth is a phrase you'll hear a lot now in the veteran community. And we didn't know all of those terms and designations and exactly how we wanted to do that way back when in 2011. But after sitting and thinking for a while, my parents, my mom, Chris Kessler, and her husband, my stepdad, Dr. Frank Kessler, who's also a retired colonel from the U.S. Army Reserve, they had already owned this property out in New Mexico, which we had used as a family retreat. We said we could use this place to create the type of environment that could help to heal veterans.
And the first group of veterans, were they people who were linked in any way to Joe's service?
The group that we had out there, definitely each of them in their own way had their own connection to Joe. We had Zach Mundy, who's a Shelter Island Marine veteran who had just finished his service with the Marine Corps. We had one of Joe's sergeants from the 171 cab, a couple other local people, myself, my stepfather, and so other various connections. But Joe was definitely at the center of that first retreat and in a way still at the center of a lot of them. But the 171 Cavalry was definitely closest to Joe's heart. We try to host as many veterans as we can from those units, and we build out in a number of different ways. East End Veterans is definitely on our focus because they've been with us every step of the way since this journey started in 2010 with Joe's death. And then the last third is just sort of people who come into contact with us. Maybe they're referred by someone who has been on a previous retreat, or maybe there's someone who just has stumbled across our Facebook page or our website and they say, hey, I don't know what I need, but this looks like it might be it. Those are really exciting phone calls, emails to get from guys who had a sense of task and purpose when they were in the military and then have maybe gotten a little lost since then. All the veterans listening won't like me saying the word retreats as often as I do, so we try to say strong points.
Okay.
Because a strong point is like a rally point. It's a place to come together and draw strength before you maybe proceed a little bit further with your mission. The thing that really stuck with us first and foremost was it's a ranch, and a ranch has just certain qualities to it that I think can be very symbolic or similar to military service in the work that needs to get accomplished. Working as a team is going to help you get there a little faster, a little bit better. And just the sense of service, I think.
What are some of the things that you might do while you were participating?
Well, one of the key components is that ranch work. We do like to build that in, and it's helped to build the space. Just on our most recent retreat, we had had a very meaningful, powerful experience for a lot of the guys who visited who were cavalrymen, and they stopped by our Fiddler's Green Memorial Park, which as of a year ago didn't exist. It was just another little alcove of trees on our property, and it was a group that was there in 2017 that built a beautiful hitching post and cleared the area and created this very peaceful setting that we kind of use as a memorial space. So the ranch work allows us to not only give our guests a purpose and a mission while they're there. Hey, we would like to accomplish this. Can you guys help us on our way? It gives something for the future group. My favorite piece after the ranch work is our legacy hike, which is throughout the course of a 4 or 5 day strong point, we try to take one day specifically and just get out and just enjoy the nature that's there. There will be other smaller activities that happen, but the legacy hike is specifically an opportunity to get out as a group, enjoy nature. And the question that we like to ask to our groups is, what would you like people to know about your service? Many of these men and women who we will host at the ranch, hopefully having our first female veterans trip this year, they've taken time out of their lives, whatever time frame it might have been, they've served, they've done a tremendous amount for the people of this country that oftentimes you're not sure, well, what exactly did you do? And that's not the question. It's not, hey, what did you do? How did you serve? It's what would you like us to know? And I think it puts the onus on the veteran to really analyze their service and what did it mean to them. In starting that conversation with the veterans at Strong Point Diner Ranch, I think it allows them to hopefully flip that switch. And so the legacy hike is hopefully that first step for our veterans to get over that hurdle of really thinking about what your military service meant to you. And life between two ferries, right? We get an opportunity each time we come home to Shelter Island to sit on that ferry and pause for a moment and hopefully pick our head up from our cell phone or turn off the radio and just look out and see the water and see the island and know that you're home. And that moment of quiet reflection is one of the many gifts we have living on Shelter Island here. I think that for a lot of people in a lot of the world, in our country, they don't have opportunities like that, or they're carrying baggage that, you know, maybe a 5 or 10 minute ferry ride isn't going to solve. So coming to the ranch and having that opportunity to pause, because we're surrounded by so much national forest and Bureau of Land Management land, as well as 1,000 acres of our own property that has no cell phone tower on it and, you know, very limited cell reception, there's a certain unplugging and decompressing that happens. And I think it puts everything in perspective. The burdens that people carry from their military service, it shouldn't just be theirs to bear. You know, therapy is definitely a kind of not so sexy word to a lot of veterans.
Right.
And, you know, we try to provide as many therapeutic experiences as we can. That combined with our mental health professionals that work with us are really, you know, the driving force behind the real healing at Strong Point.
How many people are you able to have?
Most recently, we had 13, I think was the number.
It's a lot of people in a 3-bedroom house.
It is. Luckily, I like to camp, and the mountain weather agrees with me. So we have a beautiful overhanging back porch, and so I set up a couple cots on the back porch, and I'll sleep outside. And our most recent trip was a more of a backpacking initiative. So we had some other guys who were really into camping. One of them is currently hiking the Pacific Crest Trail, and he was okay camping outside with me. So, you know, there's definitely a little bit of roughing it to kind of make do while we're in the process of hopefully working towards building a bunkhouse that can facilitate even more people at the ranch.
So tell us about the bunkhouse project.
So, you know, the idea of the ranch sort of came from nowhere. We started as soon as we felt we were able to, and there's a need. There's a great need for more space out there, you know, housing specifically. We have this great property we want to be able to share with not just veterans, but the Gold Star families like ourselves, people who've lost someone in action, and then even just veteran families. You know, I want a service member to come home from a year-long deployment, and if they have the time, maybe not to take a vacation, but, you know, they have the time free in their schedule, they don't have the funds, they can come to Strong Point Diner Ranch. And right now, without the bunkhouse space, I feel like we're saying, okay, we'll bring in this support person, but that might potentially bump a participant. So the bunkhouse will hopefully answer the question of how can we get a good group of participants out there and still have the support staff that we need to really provide the best experience possible.
And it'll also make you ADA compliant.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. When our family home was built, this was not...
This wasn't even a thought.
You know, we were thinking about it as a family retreat and just a place for us to be together. And yeah, so right now we have lots of stairs and tight doorways and corners and bathrooms that are not handicapped accessible.
What's needed? I know you said the project was going to be about $300,000 and that you were pretty well on your way to getting there.
After a wonderful fundraising effort last year, primarily here on the East End through ferry cruises and golf tournaments, we raised over $100,000 towards that goal last year, and we had already earmarked about $50,000. So we're over the halfway mark of $150,000. And we're hoping that between some of our events we have coming up this summer and through the fall, that we can get very close, if not all the way to that $300,000 number by the end of 2018. We would love to be able to break ground and get this building up and running. And we've started on some of the things we can do. We've cleared the site for the bunkhouse that we want to put up. We've run electrical to the property. We've sunk a well. So some of the things that we're doing that we can get going on building front, they've happened and they're going, but we still need to raise about $150,000 to really see this dream into a reality.
You have your own fundraising events that you've planned. Like you said, there's the ferry cruise, there's the golf outing,
yes.
There's always the 3-on-3 basketball. Yep. You did something with lacrosse at some point.
Yep, Shootout for Soldiers in
Shootout
July,
for Soldiers. Yep. I don't know if I've missed any of the regular featured ones, but there have also been people who've held their own fundraisers.
Yes.
In honor and donated the proceeds of those fundraisers to
Correct.
Your cause. I know you've had some people from the island who've done that recently. And even things from Girl Scouts selling cookies in front of the IGA, you know.
Yeah. It's always tough to fully enjoy it because, you know, for me, it started with the loss of my best friend and my older mm-hmm. brother, Joe. You know, it started from his death. But when I go back and I think about all the things that we've done over the years, you know, bike rides and Girl Scout fundraisers and little small community things to, the Walsh family hosting a terrific fundraiser for us back in December and, making a very sizable donation to this project. It's just amazing, you know, and I can't let the negative overwhelm the positive because I will always miss Joe and I'll always think about him, but there are experiences that I've had in my life and beyond just me and my family, we're doing good for people beyond the Theinert-Kessler family. It's truly incredible to see what's happened, you know, since his death just 8 years ago. And I'm excited to see what the future holds. You know, we have a team of people getting ready to run the Shelter Island 10K for us. And, that fundraising effort should hopefully push us even closer to getting this bunkhouse built. And just thinking being a really positive force for change in the world.
The bunkhouse effort is a big capital project that you've undertaken. How is it that the retreats are made possible for the participants, for the veterans who participate in them or the Gold Star families who participate in them? I know you've said that they're free of cost for the people who are participating.
Right.
Do you have underwriters? Is some of the money that you raise during the year goes towards covering
some of the money,
those costs?
Some of the money that's raised throughout the year through different events is earmarked towards the building of the bunkhouse and other towards operating expenses. When it's possible, I like to try to run, a smaller fundraiser that might, specifically be used towards the efforts of a StrongPoint program. I can remember, thank you to everyone who bought t-shirts, all the t-shirts over the years, but I can remember doing a t-shirt fundraiser one year that I think raised, $3,000 to $4,000. And our average cost for a retreat program is only $5,000 to $6,000. So, the generosity of people is just overwhelming, and we are able to kind of look where we can and find the money that we need to host these programs. But it's definitely, we're sort of fighting two fires right now with, mm-hmm. with operating expenses of our current programs and then obviously trying to build and expand. So I know I'm very excited to see what the StrongPoint Theinert Ranch programs look like when we can focus solely on the programming. Mm-hmm. As a family, we're so grateful, we're so thankful for everyone who's gotten us this far. And we just want to get that little bit further to having the build project completed at the ranch and really unlock the full potential of what the programs can do at StrongPoint and see what that really looks like.
What are the ways that you can reach out to the sort of wider world of veteran services?
Sure.
And charitable organizations and kind of become part of the weave rather mm-hmm. than just this one thread that's, waving out there by itself.
Yeah. Well, I have to start with a thank you again to Melissa Mundy, who's been with us since day one on this journey and with an organization. She's been great and has done some grant writing for us mm-hmm. to allow us to have the funding secured for certain programs. And we will look for more of that. I haven't done a lot of it. I've written grants to Southwest Airlines, and they graciously gave us a couple ticket vouchers to fly veterans out to the ranch. I don't know how much grant writing will be available or possible. If there's any volunteers in the audience that want to hop on board, you're welcome to shoot me an email. For me, I see the business model, quote unquote, as let's get this bunkhouse built and then let's utilize it for our veteran participants, but then also, you know, lease it out for on a for-profit side as well. The space that we have is going to be very usable for corporate groups. We're in the area for some of the best elk hunting in the entire country. So we're working with local New Mexico hunters and hunting guides who are also veterans to work on getting some of those elk tags where we could host hunts at a, you know, a for-profit basis. So I really think that while grant writing is certainly a possibility, I would love to see the bunkhouse and the ranch itself be able to kind of generate some of its own funding to allow us to still host, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 10 to 15 to 20 programs a year. The nice thing about all the work that goes into these programs is that we're now sending people home into their communities and they're hopefully having positive experiences and they're able to sort of champion Strong Point Diner in their own communities. I do definitely dream of a day where there's no donor fatigue because we're not asking for that much. We have gotten so much from this island, from this town. And I would love to see in 5 years from now, you know, a donation be someone saying, "Hey, Jimbo, can I come out to the ranch and do X?" Like, yeah, whatever. That's the donation I want to see. You know, I would love to get away from just the capital needs. You know, right. It's important and it makes the mission possible. But I know that this town has a lot more than just money or funding to give. They're connected to this mission and to Joe and his legacy. And that's what I want to see.
When the family was sort of developing this idea of the ranch, was there any kind of spiritual dynamic that went into this beyond the journey that the family found itself having to take? Not even a specific religious sort of spirituality.
I think a lot of it was just the feeling that many of us in the family had when we were out at the ranch. And the space is very unique. You know, I say we're in the mountains of New Mexico, and we definitely are in the mountains, but it's not your typical, you know, tall pine trees and lots of snow. It's the desert mountains, and the air is different. Every one of us in the family felt like that. Like, okay, yeah, we're at elevation and we're hiking and we're breathing heavy, but I don't know, the air is just different there. And, you know, we had this feeling like, hey, you know, we bought this property and we don't really know what it was for. And now it sort of feels like someone is guiding us towards what the purpose is for this property. And we just all had these good feelings. Like, I can remember my mother using the ranch as a retreat for herself just in the first year after Joe's death. And each time her coming back saying, I feel so good when I'm out there. It feels so good. And she was only ever out there with Joe one time for 3 or 4 days, but she just said, I feel close to Joe. And I feel really good when I'm there. And it was a shared element that the entire family, I think, experienced. And then, you know, when we started hosting veteran participants and people from outside the family were, you know, I've definitely had that moment of thinking, all right, everyone's going to figure out just how crazy we are. You know, they're going to say, oh yeah, these, you know, family with their magical ranch property. And I can remember a number of veterans, you know, in the first couple of retreats and even still now sharing with us, I don't know what it is about this place. I just feel really good here. And, you know, I feel something. And men who didn't serve with Joe, didn't know Joe, said, I feel a connection to him here. And so I think without us searching for it, you know, I think that's spirituality. I think it finds you sometimes when you need it. And I think it sort of found us out in Magdalena at the ranch.
If you can give me the name of the website and the way that people can donate,
sure.
Any other features of the website that you'd like to share? Yeah.
Okay. So, Strong Point Thinert Ranch, we can be found online at strongpointthinert.org. And if you can't spell Thinert, I'll tell you the trick I tell all my kids. It's the in-ert. But strongpointthinert.org, we also have jjtmf.org, which is the Joseph J. Thinert Memorial Fund. Both foundations function to, you know, preserve Joe's legacy and benefit veterans. You know, there's a lot more words I could use to describe it, but that's at the center of both of those organizations, preserving Joe's legacy and honoring and remembering him, as well as providing assistance and really doing whatever is in our capacity to help our veterans and veteran families. So strongpointdiner.org, jjtmf.org. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, Strong Point Diner Grants, Joseph J. Theiner Memorial Fund. And, you know, there's a lot of features to the website. People can see photos from past and most recent retreats. You can check out a really informative video that we did last year to share with people about, hey, what is Strong Point Diner Ranch? You've listened to me talk all day here today, it seems like. And you could send this, you know, beautiful 6-minute video to a friend of yours and educate them about Strong Point Diner Ranch. If you want to donate, I'll say thank you in advance. You can donate at either website. If you'd like to host a fundraiser, I know that we've had people do that for us in the past, whether it was a cocktail party or maybe you're running a race or a triathlon or something. We've had people come out and just say, hey, you know what, I'm training and I want to do a little good with the work that I'm putting in. I'd love to run for you guys. We're happy to talk to you about that. Or if you just have a suggestion for us, something you'd like to see happen at the ranch, you know a person in your life who could benefit from it, go to strongpointdiner.org, check it out. You can sign up for our email updates. We'll keep you informed as to what's going on at the ranch, what's new and exciting. And you can be a part of this process with us. We have come this far as a family and as an organization, and we have not done it alone. It has been from the love and support of Shelter Island and everybody in this community, and that's going to continue to keep us going in the future. So by all means, even if you don't know who I am or you didn't know Joe, feel free to connect with us and get involved in any way that you'd like.
Great. Thank you very much. This is Julie Brennan from the Shelter Island Gazette. You've been listening to me speak today with Jimbo Theinert about plans for the Strong Point Theinert Ranch and specifically the construction of a bunkhouse that's ongoing. Fundraising is ongoing. If you'd like to contribute, you can learn more on our website, and I'll include all the information about your websites as well. Thanks, Jimbo, for being here. I really appreciate having you here.
We're very welcome, Julia. It's nice to be a part of this, and we wish you guys the best of luck in the future.
Well, great. Thank you very much.